1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Time for the law feature here on Hot Business, brought to you by leading full-service law firm Webber Wentzel. Through an alliance with Linklaters and relationships with law firms across Africa, Webber Wentzel ensures that you've got the best expertise wherever you do business. Now, with all the talk around climate change and COP26, there's been an important milestone achieved in the country in the fight against waste, and it went largely unnoticed last week, the introduction of extended producer responsibility, EPR regulation, and it's a major step towards a circular economy. But there are some serious legacy concerns that might hamper their successful implementation. And to find out more, I'm joined by Garen Rapson, who's a partner at Webber Wentzel. Garen, welcome to the show. Let's just start with a bit of background and context. What is extended producer responsibility, or EPR? Why is it important?
So, Michael, EPR is essentially a piece of law that includes the externality costs of the waste into the price of products that go out into the market. So it factors in the cost of collection, transport, storage, and recycling of waste to ensure that the price that consumers pay includes all factors associated with the environmental cost of those products.
And how did this EPR legislation come about in South Africa? Who's driving it?
So it was driven out of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries, and the Environment. It is a law that was published directly from Barbara Creasy, and it was part of the plans under our waste implementation plan in government for a number of years now.
And if you just look at the various roles and responsibilities here, because I know some industry organizations, if you look at the substrates, glass, plastic, all of the different substrates, you have had voluntary EPR for some time already. Can you just outline the roles that are now specified in this new legislation, and how are producers defined, for example?
Sure. So classic EPR, and if you look at international best practice around EPR, you hold brand owners responsible for the brand products that they put out into the market. So, for example, Coca-Cola, you would hold them responsible for the cost associated with the plastic bottle in which Coca-Cola is placed. That's the way it works internationally. In South Africa, it was a little bit tricky because we already had the likes of the Recycling Company of South Africa and other product responsibility organizations, including Polyco and Petco, that had done this on a voluntary basis, but not on behalf of brand owners classically, but on behalf of the producers of the glass or the paper or the packaging themselves. So the South African laws have actually included everyone in the value chain, from importers and manufacturers of these goods to converters, to brand owners, and even in some respects to retailers.
Just briefly, what are their responsibilities then under this broad suite of legislation?
So all of those players in the value chain are classified as a producer under the law. So essentially what they need to now do is do one of three things. They can either for themselves set up an EPR scheme. So the likes of AB InBev, for example, could go and set up their own bespoke scheme to go and collect their waste products, again, transport and recycle, et cetera, their waste products. Alternatively, you can collaborate with other players in your market and come together and set up a scheme for yourself. And your third option is to appoint a product responsibility organization to do that on your behalf. Given the timeline of compliance in terms of these laws, which came into force on Friday last week, most players in the market have opted to go with PROs, and there are a handful of PROs that have been established in the market who will now implement these laws on behalf of the various producers in the value chain. And obviously, we'll see how things pan out in the coming years as to the effectiveness of those PROs.
It has been rolled out internationally, to your earlier point. Is there anything else that we could learn from the international experience from EPR schemes?
Yeah, so it's very common throughout Europe, the US, and parts of Asia. In Africa, South Africa and Kenya are the only countries that have law around EPR, and then there are a handful of other countries that have done it. International best practice, as I say, is to only hold brand owners responsible. And the reason being is that brand owners have the impetus to ensure that their products are redesigned to be less toxic, to have less packaging, et cetera, et cetera. They can also coach the public generally around waste management and collection, et cetera. To hold the manufacturers and importers responsible goes against classic EPR principles, because they have no incentive to do any of those waste life cycle assessments. Mm-hmm. So in time, we're hoping that the law will gradually be amended to only hold brand owners responsible.
Yeah, understandable. They're not consumer facing, the producers. So there's very little interface at that point in the value chain. What are you most wary about in terms of the implementation of the legislation? Is it that point that potentially could see us trip up?
Look, as I said, most players have now gone to PROs, and we're talking about the glass recycling company, Polyco, Petco, Metpack, and Fiber Circle. Those are your main PROs out there. I think the thing that we are most concerned about is how effective those PROs are going to be, because ultimately the brand owners and other producers are still legally responsible for this law, despite the fact that they may have outsourced it to a PRO. And if history tells us, I mean, Michael, I'm sure you've heard of RDISA. RDISA mm-hmm. was a separate PRO, in inverted commas, under a separate law that was meant to manage waste tires in South Africa, and it was fraught with problems. So we wait to see whether or not the PROs are going to be able to do what they say they're going to do.
Now, the last thing we can afford is a repeat of that exercise, RDISA mired in controversy. Garen Rapson, partner at Weber Wenzel, with the latest on EPR, which went live last Friday. That's the law feature, as always, brought to you by Weber Wenzel. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.